We've been looking at the theme of adoption, the spiritual work of the Lord, legal, objective, like justification. God, as we embrace Christ by faith, God applying the work of the cross to us, we are justified. It's not something we feel necessarily. It's not something that happened inside of us. It's something that happened on our behalf in the highest courts of heaven. But then there's also adoption, that we are not merely pardoned, but we are actually brought into God's family. We're going to be looking at that again this morning. We'll be looking at it again next week and as we go through Romans 8. But I want us to connect the work of the cross with adoption as we think of the Lord's Supper, where we are told that we are to show forth in remembrance. We're to do it in remembrance of Christ's death, and we're to show forth his death until he returns. So in Galatians chapter 4, let's read verse 1 down through verse 7. Galatians chapter 4. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. We'll stop there. Just some basic things that we read about it, about our spiritual adoption. One is the cause of it, that God has adopted us, but he has not done so apart from justice and the upholding of his law. So at the right time, God sent his son. And he came. Two things mentioned there, right? He was born of a woman, so he's one of us in order to represent us. But he's also born under the law. That is, he carried in his life, he carried the law. He carried all the obligations that you and I have, and he fulfilled them perfectly. Now, having become one of us to represent us, and having perfectly fulfilled the law on our behalf, every one of God's children is brought into the family. And the result is that the Spirit of the only begotten Son is given to the adopted children, the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. And from that comes this cry, Abba, Father. It's not a very complex thing. You don't have to search for some deep mystery about this Abba and Father. We'll talk about it in the next service. So let me just say, it's just the Aramaic or the normal language of the Jews in that day. It's the Aramaic word and a Greek word. Jews, Gentiles, every Christian. There's no difference now. We come before the highest throne and we see him. And in our hearts, the Spirit calls us within us to be that cry. You're my father now. And we are heirs of God and heirs with Christ. So, a wonderful picture. This is what we are portraying, aren't we? What we're remembering with the Lord's Supper. It's not just objective facts. Jesus died and that's the end of it. But there are facts with promises attached to it. Chuck sent me a great little paragraph from a Puritan named Stephen Charnock. And this is what Stephen Charnock says about us remembering Christ's death and resurrection when we take the Lord's Supper. Now I'm going to translate, I kind of do a running translation because he has a lot of archaic words, but hang with me, all right? As Christ's death was not a bare dying, but a death with high and glorious ends, so our remembrance of it is not to be a bare historical remembrance, but a practical remembrance and a declaration. As Christ's remembrance of the Father, of the promises of his Father, was not only an agreement to the truth of them, but leaning on God to perform them, so our remembrance of the death of Christ ought to be the same. It's not just a remembering, as when a man sees a picture of a person and remembers that that person exists, but it's remembering that a man sees a picture of a dear friend who's absent for a while. He doesn't just remember that person, but he remembers the mutual love between them, the actions of the friend, the things the friend said, and it stirs him up to a sense of gratitude. All right, so simply put, when we say we're doing the Lord's Supper, it's a great declaration of the believer. I have tasted the realities of Christ's death and resurrection. I have died with Christ. I am alive. I'm presenting myself alive unto God. And I'm living daily at this table of Christ. But it's not just a declaration. It's a remembrance. Not that that happened 2,000 years ago. But it's a remembrance mixed with that leaning. You know what I mean? God, I am remembering what this means. Not 2,000 years ago only, but this morning. I'm coming. There's shame, there's regret, there's the memory of cold heart toward God, sinful choices. There's fear about tomorrow. So God, I am remembering everything that is caught up in this Lord's Supper, every promise attached to the mighty labors of Christ. I am leaning myself on them. Together, as believers, we're doing that when we take the Lord's Supper. Well, we'll have a time of prayer before we take the supper. So with Galatians 4 in mind, at the right time, Christ came, born of a woman, born under the law, to rescue those who were under the law and to make us children. All right, so let's seek his face and we'll start remembering now.